Some wonderful leadership principles headed your way today on Sound Doctrine.
Your Spirit leads me on, and I'm running after you. I'll leave behind the worthless lies, and I'm trading them for priceless truth.
This is Sound Doctrine. Good to be with you today. As we make our way back over to 1 Chronicles, here on this Thursday, the plan is to cover chapter 23. At this point, David is near the end of his life and about to pass the baton of leadership to Solomon, who's king over Israel. As he does, he was really good about making sure things were in order and prepared for his son. Well, here's Pastor Jeff Johnson as he applies this to leadership and ministry here today.
First Chronicles, chapter 23. Now, very interesting. We're going off in sort of an interesting direction. It's written a little bit different than what we've been going through. And a lot of people say this is the real struggle part of First Chronicles. I don't think so. In fact, I got all, you know, really into it. And when I started thinking about it and praying over it, the Lord gave me all kinds of scriptures that ties in the New Testament and this portion here in the Old Testament about leadership and about ministry. And so this chapter, chapter 23 of 1 Chronicles, is just that. It is a setting up of leadership. And you got to understand, David was the one that was told by the Lord, you can go ahead and gather all of the things for the temple. And David said, thank you, Lord. I got to do something. I'm going to go crazy. And so he realized that his hands were bloody. God wasn't anointing him for that. That there is his son coming to do that. Solomon's a beautiful picture of and type of Jesus. And so Solomon would build the temple. But David gets to gather everything together. And we talked about all the gold and all the silver, all the lumber, everything that they needed for the temple. Because the tabernacle's going in to find a home. Things are going to change. Things are going to be different. So this setting up of those in the ministry. I was thinking about way back in Exodus, and you can just jot this down, and I'll just read it to you. It's an interesting little excerpt here out of Exodus chapter 18 in verse 13. And this is Moses. Now, you got to realize, Moses is the first guy that came upon the scene. And so he's the type of what David's looking back at. And so Moses is now called to appoint the judges. And this is a good introduction to 1 Chronicles 23. But it came to pass on the morrow that Moses sat to judge the people. And the people stood by Moses from the morning to the evening. So you can imagine, there's one leader, and this guy's trying to take care of all the problems. And his father-in-law says, Moses, hey, this is not a good thing for you to do. Because you're sitting there alone, you stand with the people from morning to evening. And Moses said to his father-in-law, well, because the people come to me and inquire to inquire of God. And the thing that thou doest, though, his father-in-law told him, this is not good what you're doing right now. This is a father-in-law that doesn't even know God. And he's seeing Moses trying to do something on his own, literally taking the life out of him. It's not good. He could see it. You're going to wear away both you and this people. You know, you're not going to be the only one hurt by this. They're going to be hurt because after a while, after 8 hours of talking to people, you're going to be going, blah, 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 blah. What did he say? I don't know. I didn't understand it. You know, the people are not going to get ministered to. They're going to get nothing. You're going to have nothing to give to them. So let me give you some counsel. And this is what he tells them in Exodus 18. He says, You need to teach them the ordinances. You need to show them the way wherein they must walk and the work that they must do. So you give them teachings. Moreover, thou shalt provide out of the people, though, such men as fear God, men of truth, hating covetousness, such have over them rulers of thousands, rulers of hundreds, rulers of fifties, and tens. And he's setting up an order here. He's setting up leadership. He's setting up a direction for the ministry that God has for Moses, but all the people. This is body ministry. So set these guys over with certain qualifications. Let them judge the people at all seasons, that every matter that they shall bring to you, let it be a small matter, they shall judge, but you shall take the heavier matters. So if they come with something very involved, then you take it. But if you see that the other judges can take it, let them do it. And if you do this thing, he says, as God commands, so he says, I believe this is what God has for you, then thou shalt be able to endure. And all this people shall also go to their place in peace. Everyone's going to be blessed if you do this, Moses. Delegate. Spread it around. And you're going to be able to endure, and they're going to be blessed. Moses listened to the father of the voice of the father-in-law, and he did what he had said. And Moses chose able men out of all of Israel, made heads over the people, over thousands, hundreds, fifties, tens. And they judged the people at all seasons, the hard causes brought to Moses, the small matters they judged themselves. So I thought that this is a good introduction to where we're headed here. And we're going to get into what David did. He not only gathered the things for the temple, but he also was able to organize who does what in the temple. Who's going to be over this and who's going to be over that? But it's not David speaking. It's all the way back from Moses as it was brought through the scriptures and through the Lord to David, to not only have the blueprints that were directed from God of the temple that is exact duplicate is in heaven. Did you know that when we get to heaven, we get to see the exact duplicate? It's there, built. So God gives him the blueprints. He gives him the okay to get all the stuff together for it. And then he says, and you can gather all the people and put them where they belong and just put them, the ministry up like I told you, David. That it'll flow beautifully. You'll be able to just kind of step back and let your son build it and behold the hand of our God. There is another place over in 2 Chronicles. You can turn there with me. We're very close, 20 pages away or so. 2 Chronicles 35, verse 1. 2 Chronicles 35, verse 1. This is when Josiah, a good king, kept the Passover, and this is verse 1, unto the Lord in Jerusalem, and they killed the Passover. And he set, notice what he did, he set the priests in their charges. This is when the temple was being, you know, opened up, and things started to move, and he set all the priests in their charges, told them what they're to be doing. He encouraged them to the service of the house of the Lord. And he just pumped everybody up. He says, you guys, you're going to light the menorah, and you're going to keep the bowls full of oil and keep the wicks burning. You're going to be the best bowl fillers and the best wick lighters ever. You just do your job as unto God. Those other you guys, make sure there's showbread for the 12 tribes on a, you know, regular basis that it doesn't rot, doesn't spoil. But always have the showbread on this side. And the incense, always the incense, fresh incense, mixing it just right. And we'll see that in a moment. But he's putting them in their charges, encouraging them in the service of the house of the Lord. And then he says, verse 3, he said to the Levites that taught all Israel, which were holy unto the Lord, put the holy ark in the house which Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, did build. So they're moving the ark in. It shall not be a burden on your shoulders. Serve now the Lord your God and his people Israel. So it's time to get involved. It's time for everybody to do. And, you know, here's the thing. The temple was let go for a while. The people got away from the Lord. It was let go for a while. Josiah got in there and said, you know what? We need to get back to the Father. We need to get back to our Father God. We need to get back to the things of God. So this is what we're going to do, guys. And they got all the cobwebs out of there. They swept it clean. They anointed everything. They got everything rolling. And they began to serve the Lord. And then I love the verse 18. It says, and there was no Passover like that kept in Israel from the days of Samuel the prophet. Neither did all the kings of Israel keep such a Passover as Josiah kept. And just tens of thousands of animals, of people gathering together. It was just a tremendous time. It was all the glory goes to the Lord. We need these times. We need to get our act together. Church, we need to follow what God has given to us over thousands of years of setting up the ministry, setting up the church in a way that it's going to run smoothly. Now, I found also a place in Nehemiah chapter 4. Listen to what Nehemiah did. Remember, Nehemiah went back to Jerusalem to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem, and he got everybody busy back in ministry. Remember, they were under bondage for so many hundreds of years, and now they're back. So notice, this is, well, you don't have to be there. I'll just read it to you real quick. This is in verse 13 of Nehemiah 4. Therefore, I set in the lower places behind the wall and on the higher place, even I set the people after their families, their swords, their spears, and their bows. Nehemiah took over and he started giving direction what they were going to do with the weapons and what they were going to do with the building. And he says, and I looked and I rose up and I said to the nobles and to the rulers and to the rest of the people, be not afraid of the enemy. Remember the Lord your God, he is awesome. And fight for your brethren, your sons and your daughters, your wives and your houses. You see, at the time when they were building the walls, the enemy was surrounding them. The enemy is trying to get in. The enemy is trying to discourage them. And it came to pass when our enemies heard it was known unto us and that God had brought their counsel to nothing, and we returned all of us to the wall, everyone to his work. And it came to pass from that time forth that the half of my servants, and this is Nehemiah setting it up, half the servants were working in the work. The other half of them held both the spears and the shields. They were looking out, ready to go if the enemy was to come in, and the bows. And it says, they which build it on the wall and they which bear the burdens with those that laid it, every one with one of his hands wrought the work. They had a trowel in one hand, laying the work down. And with the other hand, they had it on a weapon. And this is Nehemiah just saying, guys, this is dangerous times. We're at war. And the enemy surrounded us. So this is how we're going to build. For the builders, every one had his sword girded by his side. And then they builded those walls. And he that sounded the trumpet was by me. The trumpet, of course, was to warn of the coming enemy. So the work is great, it's large, and we are separated upon the wall, one far from another. So he separated everybody, so he kind of got everybody working on one whole area. In that place, therefore, you hear the sound of the trumpet, resort hither unto us, our God shall fight for us. In other words, God is going to be our strength. But you guys keep building. And they finished the wall. It was awesome. And it was a great, great, awesome thing that the children of Israel came back, but only 50,000 came back. Many stayed. They compromised, stayed in that place of compromise and lived there and with it, had their grandchildren there, but not the 50. They went back. To go back to the land, to go back to the Father, to go back to God, and to rebuild Jerusalem. So I thought that kind of fits this story also. And then over in Luke chapter 9, real quick, this is Luke 9. And in Luke chapter 9, Jesus is sending out his 12 disciples. And he gave them power and authority over all devils to cure diseases, and he sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. So here's Jesus now organizing his guys, and he's telling his 12 guys, I want you to go out, and I want you to, and he's giving them direction. First, I want to give you power and authority over the enemy. And the second thing is I want you to go and preach the kingdom of God to heal the sick. And then he took his 12 out before he sent them forth. And three of them, remember, went alone with him to go pray for a while. And that's very interesting because Peter, James, and John, as they went to pray, God spoke to them and is going to use them mightily. So going on into chapter 10, it says, after this, the Lord appointed another 70. So here's the Lord sending out 12, taking three off just to bless them and let them see some things and prepare them. But now he's sending 70. He sent them, and this is in Luke 10, two by two. The 70 went off two by two. They went off in different directions. And when they came back, it says in verse 17, the 70 returned with joy, saying, hey, the Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through your name. And he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Behold, I give you power to tread upon serpents and scorpions over all the power of the enemy. Nothing shall by any means hurt you. I'm with you. Go. Heal the sick. Take care of the poor. Jesus did it. He gave us the example. And then he says, you guys go do it. And then finally, over in Acts chapter 6, this is the first gathering of the early church's government. This is how they started the whole thing of organizing the church now, the bride of Christ. Acts 6. In those days when the number of the disciples multiplied, and it was growing, there arose a murmur of the Grecians against the Hebrews because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration. So there was a problem. They recognized it. And they said, then the 12 called the multitude of disciples unto them. And they said, listen, it's not that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. I mean, this is not what God's called us to do. So, brothers, look out among you seven men of honest report. Check this out. There's qualifications. Full of the Holy Spirit, full of wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. So you guys go out and look for those individuals that are anointed of God, special, you know, that these individuals have dedicated their lives to the Lord and they're ready for this ministry, full of wisdom, full of the Holy Spirit, whom we may appoint over this business. But we're going to give ourselves to prayer and the ministry of the word. And the saying pleased the whole multitude. They went, wow, that's a good answer. That's organization. That's ministry. You know, we're going to make sure that those that were upset at what was going on and they felt short, you know, they felt they were getting the short end of the stick. And then all of a sudden they got guys ministering to them saying, no, you're getting equal shares. It's okay. And they calmed the situation down. There could have been a horrible division here. There could have been a horrible schism. And the church would have been messed up. But notice, it pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen. And we know what happened to Stephen, man full of faith and the Holy Spirit, and Philip. Stephen was the first martyr. Philip was an evangelist that was minister to that Ethiopian that went to Ethiopia. Unbelievable. Acts chapter 8. You can read it later on. And then it says, verse 7, and the word of God, because of the decision they made, because of the organization, because of the ministry that they set up, I want you to see this. Acts chapter 6, verse 7, and the word of God increased, and the number of the disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly. And great company of the priests were obedient to the faith. The priests were getting saved. They were doing something right. Something was going good. I mean, God began to show that the decision that they made was wisdom, was exactly what God wanted, and this is the beginning of the government of the church, the beginning of setting up of men of God being put into the ministry. So I thought that, kind of sets the tone for where we're going. So let's look at it. David now makes Solomon king in chapter 23 of First Chronicles. So when David was old and full of days, how did he die? He died full of days. That's a problem. When you get full of days, you die. And that's how most people go. So he made Solomon his son king over Israel. Of course, Solomon was God's choice. We know this because in 1 Chronicles, if you turn with me to 1 Chronicles 17, verse 11, it spells it out. It came to pass, when thy days were expired, that thou must go in to be with thy fathers. Here's God speaking, I will raise up thy seed after thee. He doesn't say the name. He doesn't say which son. But he's just letting him know that God's in control. I'm going to raise up your seed, David, which shall be of thy sons, and I will establish his kingdom. He shall build me a house, and I will establish his throne forever. Forever? Well, yeah, Jesus was called the son of David. It was the handing down of that forever kingdom that Jesus was coming to rule and reign over. Everything was pointing to that. So, for a moment, I want to go look at Psalm 69, verse 9. So God's starting this organization, and this is his theocracy, okay? So in Psalm 69, verse 9, David writes this. He says, for the zeal of thine house has eaten me up. I am so, you know, into this thing. I am excited. I get to gather all the things. I get to appoint those in positions. I get to, you know, allow the Lord to show me which one here, which one there. And he's excited. I have to go back to the New Testament one more time, because there in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, starting with verse 4. This is the 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 4, talking about body ministry, talking about organization. And he says, now, there are diversities of gifts, talking about the body of Christ. There's different gifts in the body of Christ, but the same Spirit. And there are differences of administrations of the various ministries, but the same Lord. And then he says in verse 6, and there are diversities of operations, how things are run, but it's the same God. Same Spirit, same Lord, same God. You got the Trinity right there in three verses. But it's organization of God. And then he says in verse 7, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with all. Every single person who comes to Christ is given gifts, some with one, some with two, some with three, some with five. You know, if you just go through a study of 1 Corinthians chapter 12, 13, and 14, you will find out your gifts. And I did a whole series on it. And you can know your gifts, because we set the series up to get to know what God has gifted you with so you can start ministering in those gifts.
Well, thank you for joining us here on Sound Doctrine. Pastor Jeff Johnson has been talking about leadership in ministry today through his study of 1 Chronicles chapter 23. Well, to hear this program again, visit sounddoctrineradio.org. You might also download our free app. Just do a search for Calvary Chapel Downey and start listening to Pastor Jeff on your mobile devices. We can also send you a CD copy of the message when you call us, 800-353-7553. Just mention today's date, and the suggested donation is $5. It's becoming increasingly clear that Jesus is coming very soon. But how will it all go down? What can we expect? Pastor Jeff carefully examines both Old and New Testaments, showing how close we are to the Lord's return in a special DVD called End Times Scenario. I know you'll find it encouraging and maybe order an extra copy or two to give away. It's just $10 through our website at sounddoctrineradio.org or call 800-353-7553. Please remember us in your prayers and giving to the Lord. We want everything done and said to bring glory to God and help you live according to sound doctrine. To donate, visit sounddoctrineradio.org or call 800-353-7553. Thanks again for listening to Sound Doctrine with Pastor Jeff. We'll see you next time when our study of 1 Chronicles continues. So Father,